Final hour overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app. Your home smart speaker up on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, Jamie Noodles McLennan, the birthday boy, we should point out. Happy birthday, Noodles.
Knock it off.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to Noodles. We got so heated off the top, I had a big birthday thing planned, and it completely got thrown off.
I actually prefer the heated. It was spirited.
We love
spirited.
Each other,
well, it's true, but it was spirited, and I respect that because, you know, looking at this Durant situation, it is. I mean, this is what you yell and scream about, Brian, is what you want as a fan.
Action.
Like, action. What's
Give
going
us some
on
action.
Here? You know, I don't know if you're in Brooklyn, you're like, what the hell? If you're a Brooklyn Nets fan, what are you thinking today?
Well, like, Jonas Siegel's in here. Maybe, Jonas, you can speak to it. Like, you've covered the Leafs. There have been ups and downs. Not to this extreme, though. Like, Josh mentioned it. Like, when they went all in for Durant and Darren Williams and Paul Pierce, like, they gave away everything. And the only way they were getting back is if guys re-signed there, and that's what happened with KD and Kyrie, and we know how that played out.
Yeah, I was just thinking, like, in the break, everything kind of flows from Kyrie not getting vaccinated when you think about it. Like, that basically blew up everything. Mm-hmm. You can debate what you want about that decision, but because of that, he doesn't play. Then Harden gets unhappy. Then Harden wants a trade. Then they bomb out in the playoffs. Then Kyrie, they're like, do we really want to commit to this guy? And then Kyrie's like, you know what? I want to trade. Yeah. And then KD's like, I want out. And now they have nothing and all their picks are gone. And it's like, man, like, I do not envy their GM, Sean Marks.
No, it's not good.
From something that looked really good on paper.
Yeah.
That's why...
They were so close to making the finals that first year.
They were the team to beat in the East. On paper at the start of the year, we're like, that's going to be the team. And that's why you play the games, because of, you know, unique situations. I know the vaccine situation, you can't. I mean, that's a personal choice. But Kyrie has been such a distraction there, period. You know, like... I always come back to him on the Zoom call. I just think that's the funniest thing. They're playing, and he's on some random, like, Jonas, do you remember that or not? Where he was on, a Zoom call for, like, a charity or something. Like, just in, like, one of the boxes.
That's one of the weirdest stories. Like, your team's literally playing. You decided you don't want to play, and you're on a Zoom call.
Right.
Kyrie was at the forefront of pushing, like, not to go to the bubble, even though, remember, he had blown his shoulder out. He wasn't going to play anyway. Like, this guy is in the middle of everything, Kyrie Irving. And yet, actually playing and performing, it's...
Well, and remember,
he's got LeBron with him in Cleveland, it's really been a kind of disaster.
But, Hayes, I'm glad you brought that up. He requested not to keep playing with LeBron.
Right, he wanted out.
Right.
Like, yeah, demanded out.
But didn't
and then goes
he
to Boston
follow
and
unreal.
Says I'm staying, and then he demands out of Boston and leaves.
But didn't he follow it up in Boston when that was kind of a young? Remember, he was like, "This is a young, immature team," and he's like, "You know,
he was 25
I was young,
or something.
He was 25," and then he also kind of apologized to LeBron, going, "Now I see how I acted when I'm watching these guys in Boston act like that too. Like it was something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah,
he
you're apologized? Right. It was. He was talking about Tatum and Brown and."
Right.
You know, Smart, I think. And, yeah, it's the story of Kyrie Irving, man. They'll be – that's a 30 for 30. So now that free agency, I guess, is officially open, the new season has arrived. I'm seeing these deals that are locked in that everyone knew were coming. Your boy Devin Booker down in Phoenix.
Did he extend him?
He's finalizing a four-year, $214 million Supermax contract.
Wow.
So that's going to get done. But here's one that's even bigger, the richest deal in NBA history, Nikola Jokic.
Oh, yeah.
Now, yeah. Two-time NBA MVP, pretty good time to come up. He has signed a five-year, $264 million Supermax deal, the richest deal in NBA history. And the fifth season of that deal, he has a player option at $60 million.
So that's an average of what? What did you say? 262 divided by 5.
Yeah.
It's
an average of over $50 million a year.
He's worth it.
$2 million. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's back-to-back MVPs. he's staying in Denver. If you're in Phoenix, Devin Booker's staying in Phoenix. I mean, that's kind of what you need, and that's the economics of the NBA. Like,
it is unbelievable.
That's the way it goes.
That,
right?
Like, that is like the guy who's making 50 sheets a year.
Yep.
That is unbelievable.
And there'll be load management in there. There'll be...
No, he plays all the time.
He does play, but just the way the NBA works.
You're really down on, like, the NBA vibe a little bit, no?
It's not that I'm not down on it. I think it's just, you know, a lot of guys don't play every night.
Yeah.
There's a lot of complaints. You know, there's, again, the superstar players can kind of dictate when they want to go somewhere, where they want to go somewhere. I don't know.
Well, Hayes, they have a CBA coming up. What do you think about an idea that's been bandied about, like, contracts that are tied to, like, games played and, like...
I just don't think the players will let that fly. I mean, that's the issue, right, is that the CBA, it's collectively bargained. Both sides have to agree to it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the players will. I don't – and there's so much money, like franchise values and stuff. Like, they're going up exponentially also,
yeah,
right?
Like, 50.
Teams are making a fortune. Teams are worth a fortune. Teams are being sold for billions of dollars. So, you know, the owners don't want to mess around either. They kind of like where they're at, and they probably should.
That's an average of 52.8 per season. Like, that has got to be
–
where is – what other sport is higher paying individually?
NFL maybe?
Is there somebody who makes 52.8 a year average?
I don't think so. Not on average.
I feel like it's like maybe soccer, you know, somewhere in Europe because somebody's getting paid 40 million euros or something.
You might find
that
like Neymar or something like
right.
that, you know.
NASCAR, like not NASCAR, Formula One, like
F1,
those
Lewis
guys?
Hamilton, does he make 50 million a year based on like the performance? Because this is just for playing.
This is salary.
Endorsement deals and everything else, right? Like Lewis Hamilton, I'm sure, is making, he might make over $100 million a year in endorsements. You know, I don't know what he would make. I don't know what he makes on the track. You know, same thing with golf. Like when Tiger was in his heyday, he was making, you know, $6-7 million on the course and would be making like over $100 million off of it, if not more than
right.
that.
Right. But this is so, just flat out contract. Like that's
flat out guaranteed.
Right.
Like you could blow your knees out and not play for the next 2 years. You're still getting this money.
Well, and the highest paid player in the NHL is McDavid at 12.25. Is that what it is?
12.5.
Yeah, 12.5, I think. And that's going to get blown through
McKinnon
sooner than later. Well, McKinnon,
Matthews.
You know, Matthews. Like, depending on the timing. Well, Matthews, I mean, I don't even get into this because if he just signs his extension next July 1st or whatever, then we just move on with life.
But that's what will happen.
That's
but
what
if he
has
decides,
to happen, doesn't it?
It will.
Like, you have to get him to sign an extension the second he can.
But the second he, like, I think he stays and signs. I just don't think it's July 1st. Like, he's a different guy. He's not going to be pressured into, like, I just feel like Austin does, you know, he's a team guy, all of that. But Austin does what Austin kind of wants.
Noodles, that five-year deal he signed was kind of norm-breaking a little bit. Like, that wasn't
right. Like, maybe he signs July 15th, but for 15 days, this market will be flat out on fire because of the availability. But I think he does, and I think he gets a boatload of money. But just knowing him, he's just a unique individual. He's a unicorn, which is great. I mean, the other night, I don't know when he won the Hart, did you see his media afterward? They asked about his attire. He's like, yeah, He goes, I don't like wearing a tie. And they said casual. So he goes, I let the chest breathe. He was laughing about it. Like, he showed a little personality. I thought it was great. But, like, I think of Austin Matthews, and I think, you know, he might buck the trend on, like, hey, I have to have it done. He's like, I'll get it done on my time, not anybody else's. I just feel that way about him.
Yeah, he very well could.
I might be wrong.
I think a lot of it will be a formality. Like, the ball will be in his court.
Yeah.
This time next year, you know, the Leafs are the second they can are going to say, "What can we do?"
Here's the check, sign it.
What do you want?
Fill it out.
Yeah. What do you want? Do you want 8 years? Do you want 3 years?
That's the interesting question, I think, at that point.
I agree, but as long as he signs for more than, like, you know, if he signs a 3-year deal, that means it's kicking it down the curb 4 years because he'd still have a year left on his current deal plus
I'd
another
be fine
three.
With that.
Totally.
Sure.
Then you're looking at, you know, he'd be
– puts him to 30.
Exactly, which means he's spending the first 11 or 12 years at a minimum, you know, his prime of his career in Toronto. That's
more than enough. It is more than enough.
You'd obviously prefer it to extend beyond that, but it's, you know, lets you breathe for sure if you're the Maple Leafs.
I just think these guys are like looking at the economics and going, why would I sign an 8 year? A guy like Austin Matthews, not other people, but a guy like Austin Matthews go, let's see where the cap gets to. Like I don't want to paint myself in at 15 or 16 when I could be north of 20 if revenues continue to grow and I don't throw my team under the bus. Like he might say, give me three and let's see what the economics look like in three. Like, and it's more about his personal situation, not about, hey, I don't like the market or I want to go here or there. It's, I remember having a conversation with a star player who always signed 3 year deals. And he was like, I bet on myself and I know that the marketplace changes. So it's more about the financial aspect and what they can earn as the cap continues to go up. So I think the 3 year extension would be fine.
Yeah.
You know, but because it's his window, but it's also the economics because he might be north of 20.
I think it would be preferable for the team to get a longer deal.
Sure.
I mean, clearly. Because
security.
With COVID, well, also because the cap is going to go up. So you don't have to reload in another 3 years and keep him, you know. At some point, you want to get a discount on one of these guys. You know, like the cap, because of COVID, it squeezed the whole league. Without question. But, you know, we're talking about the Leafs. Like, they got squeezed.
They got jammed up.
They gave these guys big deals with the expectation that the, you know, the last 2 or 3 years, they'd have a lot more of a breathing room and a lot more room, and a lot more cap space, and it hasn't been available to them. Again, they're not the only – every team in the league has to deal with the exact same rules.
Yeah.
Colorado has to, you know, they just won. Tampa had to. They won twice. So it's all the same. You're all working under the same, you know, guidelines here. But if he comes up and signs a 3 year deal and goes, I'm going to get you even more, like he's entitled to that and you just want him here, but they may never get a discount on him. Like it just,
I don't think
you could argue they already have, but yeah, anyway.
They are because of how great he was. Yes. Like at 11.6, you know, you could certainly punch the numbers and find them at 14 or 15 or whatever. The point being is the contract was a big deal, and it should be – there should be more room that comes with it based on the other deals that have preceded. But it didn't work out that way.
Yeah.
All right, Jays Rays tonight. Yusei Kikuchi on the mound. Here's our MLB analyst, Steve Phillips. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you.
Where's your level of confidence at with Kikuchi going tonight, Barrios going tomorrow, the next 24 hours? Will it be easy to breathe if you're Ross Atkins and company or what?
Well, I feel a little bit better right now because the bullpen got a break. You know, the other starters did a heck of a job with Gausman and Manoah and Stripling to be able to, you know, allow the bullpen a chance to catch its breath. But what we've seen over the last few starts is these two back-to-back can burn out the bullpen. And so, you know, I'll be anxious to see Barrios. I have more confidence in him than I do Kikuchi. And Kikuchi just, I think it's as much confidence as it is anything for him. He just doesn't seem comfortable. And it seems like once it starts to get away from him, he looks at it and thinks, well, this is the thing today that's going to cause me not to be able to get people out. So, I don't know. I think you're holding your breath if you're Ross Atkins. And I think they've got to look for a way to separate these two. I've talked about it before with you. They've got to separate them in the rotation because they can't have these two back-to-back and burn out your bullpen and then mess you up for the rest of the week. And so it'll be interesting to see how they're able to do it. Obviously, they've got, what, 5 games in 4 days. They're going to piece this all together, and it's going to be a challenge for them. Maybe coming out of the doubleheader, they can rearrange it a little bit on the backside. But, you know, it's obviously a big series. The good news is Tampa Bay's not playing very well right now. And so I think they've lost 8 of the last 14. They've not played real good baseball. Their offense, there's not a lot of power in that lineup. And so, if you can put up some runs and get some separation, it's hard for the Rays to put up crooked numbers. And so that's where the offense has to be there for Toronto.
Watching Manoah pitch last night, is he just a flat-out, superstar in the making for you? Is there more to learn from him? Like, What is his trajectory from your vantage point? And do you believe that there is more there, or is he just a flat-out star and just needs longevity in it?
Yeah, I think he's got room to get better. I think this changeup's going to get better. He threw a couple of them yesterday that I thought were good pitches. The umpire didn't give him a call on it. But I think that's going to become an even more effective pitch for him. He talked about it in spring training. You know, a lot of times a right-hander will use that to get a left-handed hitter out. But he throws it to his right-handers as well. I think there's another step for him. He's a bulldog. And, you know, he's going to continue to figure out how to get strikeouts when he needs to. You know, and because he's not really, you know, he's not a huge strikeout guy, but I think he's got the stuff to be able to do it. And at some point, that will come in handy. You know, I got out of a jam yesterday, runners in second and third, got a couple big outs out of it. But, you know, to be able to be in a jam and get swings and misses where, you avoid the productive out is really valuable. And I think he's going to continue to learn how to do that. But, you know, he's a rare pitcher who can really get emotional and then just funnel it, channel it in the right way. He doesn't let it get in the way. He doesn't cause him to elevate his pitches, doesn't cause him to overthrow. And the only other thing I would say is I would love to see him work a little bit more quickly. You know, I mean, he gets it and he walks around the mound a little bit, and I'd like him to maybe keep his fielders in the game a little bit more just with a better pace. And who knows, maybe with the rule changes that could be coming, that'll be legislated that he's going to have to do it. But boy, if that, I'm nitpicking right now. I mean, really looking for something to say about what he can continue to work on, because he is a really special young kid.
Yeah, I mean, last night he lowered his ERA again against Boston, right? When the Sox, you knew, were hungry to get at least a win out of the series, and he had to battle at times. But I'm with you, man. I don't see much. Like, obviously, you can always improve, and you always want to try to improve. But this guy is a clear cut number one. Like, I don't think there's any disputing it. If the playoffs start tonight and you get a fresh rotation, he's getting the ball game one.
Yeah, you know what I liked too was when they had the brawl, you know, the bench is empty. Not much of a brawl, but, you know, the bench is empty. Springer had Guerrero and somebody had Manoa. You know, they kept them out of the scrum. And I think it was really good teamwork and teammates being able to do that. Vladdy was sort of popping off in the dugout. Again, I love the energy protecting Kirk. Kirk protects Vladdy in the lineup, and Vladdy was protecting Kirk after getting hit by the pitch. And I just think there was a lot of good team stuff going on there. I don't know that it had to spill onto the field, but no harm, no foul. But I tell you, I really like this team. I like not just, you know, the talent, but I like the players. They're gritty, they're tough, they're good teammates, they care about each other, they have fun when they play the game. And, you know, they're going to be close this year. They'll be a playoff team, and it may be a learning year to see how far they go in the playoffs, but it doesn't mean that this couldn't be the year either. They make the right move, add another starting pitcher, and then who knows, maybe they can run through the postseason.
Steve, you just kind of preluded the question I wanted to ask you. What would be your priority, a starting arm or help in the bullpen, or do you just get both?
Well, you know, definitely a starter. I think they need to get a starter, but they need both. And relievers are easy to get at the trade deadline. I mean, you're going to see, I think there's been a couple of years, there were like 32 right-handed relievers that got traded at the trade deadline. You can find an upgrade and just find a guy who's pitching well, because inevitably what I have found is pitchers who have been pitching well for somebody else come to you and they keep pitching well. Pitchers who weren't pitching well, where you think, well, let me try to catch lightning in a bottle, when it's a reliever, rarely does it happen that the guy comes to you and pitches better. I tried that a few times. You got burned by it. And those guys who I got that were throwing well just kept on rolling. So Mark Shapiro, Ross Atkins, they'll find bullpen help. We'll see what Sergio Romo can do. Here's the thing. Sergio Romo was the first guy out of the bullpen gate running onto the field yesterday when that whole thing happened. And so, you know, he's always looking for a fight. Or at least, you know, he'll look for the fight, get there and tell somebody to hold him back and get in front of me, will you? But, you know, he's a character. He's a veteran guy. He's got a nasty slider. More of a situational reliever than he gets right-handed hitters out. But he'll keep it fun, and he's an older guy with a bunch of young kids that will act like the youngest of all of them. So he'll be a good fit on this team.
With Steve Phillips, go ahead.
Oh, sorry, I was just going to say, that's where I was going to go. Were you all right with Vladdy kind of come bombing out of the dugout to defend his Kirk? And did you think that was an egregious pitch?
So I didn't think it was intentional. And you know, it used to be that hitters let the ball hit them when that ball was coming inside there, right? They all had on the armor, the protective armor on their arms. Barry Bonds used to wear that stuff. Gary Sheffield. They get pitched in, and they just lean into it and take it. You know, I think that Kirk's going to get pitched inside. He has to. He's going so well. That was not at his head. It hit him in the elbow or the tricep. And that's the kind of pitch that you try to stand a guy up. He just didn't get out of the way on it. So I did not think there was anything wrong with the pitch. But I do like the players getting angry on behalf of Kirk because he's red hot. And, you know, for Vladdy, who's protected in the lineup from him, for Vladdy to be the one screaming and yelling about it, one, it shows good teammate skills on his part, that he cares about the guys on the team. And sometimes just getting riled up, even if there's no real reason to, can maybe on a Wednesday night in June where you're kind of feeling like, you know, you're dragging a bit, it can light things up a little bit for you and get other guys going too. So I didn't like going on the field. You know, he went over, then Teoscar went right behind him. Because what you don't want is to get in a brawl and have anybody get hurt. And so, I think in the long run, though, it was a good effort on their part to show support for a teammate.
With Steve Phillips, so Rob Manfred, commissioner of Major League Baseball, did a long interview with ESPN. There are a number of things that came out of it. One of them was that he expects by 2024 some sort of a robotic strike zone. Now, I'm not sure how this – can you have a hybrid of human elements and robotic strike zone, or do you not just have to completely commit to it? Like, how might this look in a couple of years?
Yeah, I think that it'll be interesting to see. Now, it may be that they go mostly robot, but the home plate umpire is there. If there's something that happens with the system that maybe you could challenge a pitch and the home plate umpire can make a call, the home plate umpire would have to make the call about whether it's a ball or strike. So he'll get, you know, some voice, through a microphone that is triggered. If it's a ball, he'll say ball. If it's strike, he'll say strike. And so I think there's a way that to make sure that there's the home plate umpire still has an active role in it. Or if in the beginning, if there are some questions about, you know, every pitch being accurately called with the computer, maybe they do let the human element get challenged in some way where the hitter can say, no, I want the umpire to make the call on that one. So we'll see. But, they've been testing this for a number of years. The technology is really close. There are times where, you know, the pitch down in the zone seems like it's gotten called more than it should have. And I think that they've worked on the calibration of that to make sure that it's proper and appropriate. They've made adjustments to strike zones, you know, getting a different strike zone for every hitter. Right? You've got, when the Astros and Yankees play, you need the strike zone for Jose Altuve. You need the strike zone for Aaron Judge. That being said, I am 100% in favor of the automated strike zone. I think it's the right thing for the game. You know, that 1-1 pitch that gets called the ball to make it 2-1, or the 1-1 pitch that gets called the strike to make it 1-2, is such a significant pitch in every at-bat for a hitter, and it changes the whole dynamic. So one pitch called the wrong way can change an inning and can change a game. And so I'm all in favor of it, and I know the technology's got to get right, and they've worked hard on it, but I think it's going to be the right thing for baseball, because the one thing I never minded that if there was a mistake made and it was corrected and it meant that my team lost a game, I can live with that because it was the actual result of what happened on the field. What I can't live with is losing a game because an umpire made a mistake. And it's the human element. People say, I love the human element. No, I want to get it right, because to put the blood, sweat, and tears in for a 162-game season and have a mistake made where we have technology to get the call right, I don't want to lose because of that. And so I'd take the loss if the call was properly made and overturned, but I sure don't want to lose the game because they couldn't overturn a call.
So, Steve, I'm on the total other side. Like, I'm all tradition. Don't you think we're like ruining all the traditions in baseball with everything that's changing? Like, is the sport gonna look the same in 10 years, and is that good?
I look at it and think 60 feet 6 inches, 90-foot bases, four balls, three strikes. That's the stuff that makes the game. How we enforce it, I can never accept that a human error, where we have the ability to get it right, we should just live with it because it's the way we've always done it. We have the technology. We've gotten better. I think we play the improvements on it. The game's always going to be beautiful. The game's always going to be perfect. The game's always going to have, you can go every day and think that you've seen everything, and then you see something for the first time. And it will continue to be that way. Now, it may be somebody yelling at a robot umpire, but, they'll have to just deal with that.
Will the robot fight back?
Yeah.
That'd be outstanding.
That'd be great.
You're gone.
That'd be great.
Steve, basically you're admitting that your head would have popped right off with the Jim Joyce's call on first base on the perfect game that was ruined.
Oh. It would have been crazy, right? I mean, think about that. I mean, for all of these things, I mean, there are so many games. Think about the playoff game a couple years ago, Red Sox game. Angel Hernandez was at first base. He made three calls on the bases that all of them were overturned in within three innings of the beginning of the game. But think about all the calls that have been overturned since we put replay review in. What did we do when we didn't have it? What would the results of games, do we have any idea who really would have won those games? Because all of the calls that have been overturned have dramatically changed the outcomes and the circumstances of games, thousands and thousands of them. So I wonder, when we think back to the past and we think, oh, this is a champion, this team's a champion. Well, I don't know. Are they? Did what actually happened on the field lead to that team getting the trophy at the end? I think there's a real question about that.
Yeah, it is a great question. Like, back before television and stuff, like, what was going on if there was a guy behind home plate who was absolutely buckled? The guy calling the game on radio, he's a piss tank. He's not paying attention either. Like, no one would know. How would you even know? Like, if the strike zone's even close in 1942, you know, 1928.
Right.
How many times did Babe Ruth get called, you know, like a ball four where it was right down the middle of the plate? But it's Babe Ruth. They're like, go ahead, take your base.
Yeah, you know. Or a guy steals a base and he's really out, but they call them safe.
Right.
And now he's in scoring position, somebody gets a base hit and a run scores, and it changes the entire outcome of a game. And now we have a system in place that allows us to actually get the call right, and that what actually happens on the field leads to the real result at the end of the game. And that, you know, when you're putting a team together or you're out there playing, that's really all you want, is that what actually happens leads to the result of the game.
Lastly, one more thing from Manfred, among many, is that he's open to expansion now. He's looking to get to 32. Do you have two markets in particular in mind that you think MLB might look to expand to?
So, yeah, I think that, you know, Oakland's going to probably move to Las Vegas. I think that seems pretty clear. They're not going to get the new stadium. They've tried. It's not happening. The Tampa Bay situation, they're revisiting again with the mayor. I just don't think that's going to happen for them either. They came out against gun control, and the governor there pulled, I think, $35 million for a spring training update and for a facility. So, you know, they're not in the best political circumstances down there, the Rays. And I don't know how they're going to, you know, have success in that area. So I suspect they're going to have to relocate. Nashville's going to get a team next time around when there's expansion. I think Charlotte's in the mix. Vegas will probably go to Oakland. I think Montreal is absolutely going to be in the mix for it. And, you know, it's going to be who's willing to get the stadium built and get that process going, even maybe before the commitment. Remember, with Tampa Bay, that stadium was being built. The White Sox thought about going there. The Giants thought about going there. Then the Giants got the new stadium in San Francisco. And, you know, expansion ended up going there. That stadium sat for a little bit until they did expansion, but at least they had a stadium, and that they gave them the leg up when it came to the expansion fee. The other thing is the expansion fees are going to be about $2 billion and for each team. So adding two teams is going to be $2 billion to get in, to buy in. And that money will be shared among the other 30 owners, which is going to make up for losses during COVID and any sort of adjustments made during the CBA, where now owners are paying more money to the players.
Well, there's a lot going on, and we got a five-game series about to start tonight. I don't know the last time the Jays had one of these. Five games over the next 4 days against Tampa, and it should be a fun one. We'll do it again probably early next week. Thank you for this, Steve.
You bet. My pleasure, guys, as always.
Steve Phillips, our Blue Jays and MLB analyst. Yeah, expansion coming. That's COVID. I think that was inevitable anyway, but like, even Adam Silver, I believe, is now open to it. And forever, he was adamant that the NBA is going to stay at 30. then you lose a fortune. Then you realize people are willing to pay you $2 billion. Okay, sure. 32 teams, we can do that. The NHL's done it. The NFL's been 32 for a long time. Why not? You know,
yeah.
Why not expand two more teams?
Just dilute the talent more.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's not ideal for the fans.
Great.
For sure.
Yeah. I'm going to hate the robots. Just going to hate it.
I'm with you, Jonas.
They're taking, like, the charm. Part of the charm of the game is the umpires.
I totally agree.
I can't believe this.
I get it. Watching it last night, though, I just love how it's laid out on every broadcast, and it shows whether the ump has been right or wrong. It's like, oh, that one.
But that's part of the fun.
The call on. I know, but like, you're a broadcaster. Like, that's tough. Even if you're the home broadcaster, and it's just an egregious call. He's like, well, he got the call on that one, because basically saying this guy is out to lunch behind the plate. Mm-hmm. But it's a foot off the plate, and you're like, yeah, it's a good call.
Just have, like, the umpire will just be doing what the robot tells him, and then the guy's going to complain. He's just like, what do you want? Like, the robot just said, it's a strike. Sorry.
Yeah.
That seems likely. That there's, you're still going to have to call out the balls and strikes, like maybe put on the performance, but...
So define
you're like, a robot, terrible. A
define
robot.
The robot. Like, there's going to be actually a robot behind there.
No,
like,
that would be amazing.
That's like there's.
That'd be great.
You play a robot, like you put like a pad on him and a mask and like a fake hair coming through, and like it would be the best.
That'd be actually something they should look into.
Because you know somebody would turn around and hit the robot with their bat. Like that.
Exactly what would happen. Some guy would turn around and absolutely tune up a robot that, you know, is
250 and then the robot would eject him.
Yeah,
exactly.
I totally agree with that. I think there's a lot of entertainment value there.
You know how, I'm just saying, you're at a hotel and a robot now, they will have like a robot.
Yeah, he comes to your door?
Yeah, and deliver you like a drink or something like that. That's what they're going to have behind the plate, like an actual robot.
I think it's
that
possible.
Would be awesome.
Yeah, I think it's possible. We got some Raptors news here as free agency is open. We'll get into that. We'll tell you about it. Here's the thing, Jonas, still to come. Best Bets brought to you by FanDuel. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
Ray and Jeff, because you guys were players, would you be... Sorry, Brian, you didn't make the league.
But here's the thing, though, Jonas.
Bad news, Masters, I sunk your battleship.
Here's the thing, Jonas. My name's Jonas. What song is this? I have not heard this song. You have
this
your own
awesome.
Song, Jonas?
You've never heard this song? Are you serious?
It's a Weezer song. No,
this
Weezer's
is a famous
not.
Song from a famous album.
Weezer's not
unbelievable.
In my wheelhouse. Not a huge Weezer fan.
You've never heard the Blue Album? No.
No, I don't think so. I mean,
that's their biggest album, is it not?
It's their first and their biggest. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, they're okay. I guess I just never.
Just
heard
listen
the
to the first
whole album.
Two albums.
Their biggest song is Buddy Holly for me. Isn't
Which
there?
Is on that album?
Yeah, that's their. I love that song. I guarantee you Mullen can play this on the guitar in his garage, like Buddy Holly, or this song. Like, he knows he's a Weezer guy, I'm telling you.
What was their first hit, like Say It Ain't So or something?
That's
like
also
that?
On the album.
Say yeah, that one I remember. That was a great song.
Listen to the album. The whole album is good. Okay. Top to bottom.
All right,
and the
Jonas.
First song of the album is that song, My Name is Jonas.
Here's the thing, Jonas. I will do that.
I love it.
Quickly, before we get to here's the thing, the Raptors, we're half an hour into free agency. They're doing work, and they're just bringing their own pieces back. Chris Boucher got a 3-year deal at around $35 million, I believe. Thaddeus Young is back as well on a 2-year deal. So Thad Young, they paid the price to bring him up here from San Antonio. He's sticking around. Boucher's sticking around. So those are depth pieces, bench pieces. Boucher had a really good year last year. Thad Young is, you know, somewhat of a tweener, but obviously Messiah Company, they like him. They like what he brings. So that will leave them around $10 million, $10.5 million for a mid-level exception. So they can, you know, still add some depth pieces maybe, and we'll see what they end up doing with that. But not overly flashy, but would be consistent with the messaging that they just want to keep growing with the group that they have.
Yep.
You know, Thad Young, Boucher coming back, give Scottie Barnes another year. We've been talking about KD all day. I don't think he's coming up here, but, you know, we'll see. We'll see what
Never comes. Say never.
Yeah, Masai
never
can pull
say
it
never.
Off.
Yep, never say never. All right, Jonas. So here's the thing, Jonas. You make a comment, right? Yep. Refresh my memory, and I have to be the contrarian.
Yeah.
I have to give a contrarian view.
Because typically what was happening, you would be condescending to me, and so we just decided to make a bit out of it.
Is that what it is? It's a condescending bit?
A little bit.
Well, here's the thing. Jonas is very condescending, admittedly, and I'm the one that will drop it.
I don't
do it on purpose. But
it's okay.
It's not good. It's not good. Not the best.
Not the best.
All right, Jonas, what do you have for me?
All right. I guess I'll go in order here. Happy Gilmore. Greatest sports movie of all time.
Here's the thing, Jonas. I love Happy Gilmore. I love it as a movie. But to suggest that it is better than other comedies, I think Major League personally is the greatest comedy, you know, for a sports movie. I would put Major League there. I would put Slapshot there.
Ahead of Happy Gilmore.
Ahead of Happy Gilmore. And I love Happy Gilmore, but here's the thing, Jonas. Again, I love Major League a little bit more. I think the story is better. I think there's more characters. And Happy Gilmore, it's basically all about Happy. Shooter McGavin's a great character, I guess.
Right.
Chubbs Peterson, you know. But really, it's about him, his grandma, trying to get the money. Major League
is spread out. Lots of good characters, Hayes. You're bringing them all up.
Red
Lobster guy.
Yeah, he's okay. Yeah.
Well, that's Joe Flaherty from SCTV.
That's right.
But I
Noodles I way mean, in. Come on. And you didn't even mention like Rudy or Caddyshack.
But that's what I was getting there. I'm like, Caddyshack's another one, but also like serious sports movies like Rudy. I love Rudy. Rudy's an all-time classic. Yeah. Like it what just about, it can't. It's way better than Happy Gilmore.
I always loved the movie The Replacements. Do you remember
Keanu Reeves?
Guys like yeah. The
that's
guys
not
like,
a good movie though.
I think the kicker smoking isn't that. Remember that the play-by-play guys like. I think the kicker's out there smoking.
That's
and
right.
It was that Nigel guy. Mm-hmm. I was very funny. But, I mean, yes, I don't believe, what is it, Happy Gilmore? I've seen it a million times.
Great movie.
I don't think it's, I love it too, but I don't know
away.
If it's
not
my
greatest.
Number one.
What is what is the greatest then?
Again,
make
it's
a
all
choice.
Subjective. It's all subjective.
Yeah.
But,
right.
Like, for me, I love the movie Major League. I love the movie Major League. I will always watch it. Slapshot's 101.
The thing is
Caddyshack.
Slapshot, going back and watching the top 25 clips like from Slapshot, there's a website. Half of them wouldn't register in today's world in a positive way. The way that the language is, it's just unacceptable now. So that's what's hard because I love Slapshot and I grew up with it. But again, you can't even say half the lines in there.
Whereas Happy, you can like quote it off the top all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, you can.
Happy learned to putt.
Happy did learn
and
how to putt.
The Bob Barker scene is pretty solid.
There's some, it's a phenomenal
it's great.
Movie. It's a great. I love the movie.
Watch it tonight. It does. It holds up so well.
Okay. What else do you have, Jones?
All right. I tried to inject a little bit more sports into this one because last time it was a little bit food and pop culture. But
okay.
Aaron Rodgers will never win another Super Bowl.
Here's the thing, Jonas. I believe in Matt LaFleur as his coach.
Fair.
I believe that they have a very quality offensive line. I think David Bakhtiari will return to full health and be a stud at left tackle this year. I believe in their running game. I think they have a kind of lightning and thunder running back tandem. Now, the wide receivers concern me a little bit, but I think there will be growth there, and I think they will continue to add at that position.
Who is the number one wide receiver there, by the way?
As of now, it's maybe Lazard. Is
Valdez Scantling still around or no?
No, he's in Kansas City now. Sammy Watkins, who knew as you and I love, and we got to meet one day in the studio, and that was awesome. Listen, they need some help at that position, but defensively they are also stacked. Rashawn Gary is legitimately one of the best young pass rushers in the game. He's coming back. You've got Preston Smith coming back. You've got Jair Alexander as I think one of the three or four best corners coming back and returning to health. I like where they're at. They're in a weak division. So I believe they'll win the NFC North again. That punches a ticket. I think they'll have home field again, at least in the first round. Once that happens, anything can happen, Jonas.
Okay.
You know, to suggest it's a guarantee, it's a difficult thing to do. But writing it off as if he'll never win another Super Bowl, I'm not buying it.
I think it's done.
No chance.
Does he even perform in the playoffs anymore?
He hasn't performed well lately.
Right.
He has not.
So there's like, that.
I'm the
gotta
first one to admit it. He has not.
All right.
Okay. What else do you
Next
got?
One. The best Skittle flavor? Red.
Here's the thing, Jonas. Have you ever had green in your life?
Wow, I had the same conversation today. Green is the worst.
Green's a phenomenal
green
flavor.
And yellow.
Yellow's
throw
a phenomenal
them out.
Flavor.
Wow.
I take both of those over red. Red is for peasants. Red is a nothing. It's a throwaway. Red, fill that up and give it out to your neighbor you don't like at Halloween. Red, no one likes red. No one wants red. It's an awful flavor.
I
come to the table with every other flavor.
I know you're not being serious.
I have a full admission here.
Yeah.
You guys know I drink a lot of water on the show, and that I found on Amazon Skittles drink mix.
Ooh.
So when I was in Florida in March, I went to like the CVS around the corner to grab like some bottled water and that, and I came across, like, I like all my, you know, Tang and stuff that you drop into bottled water, like I've always had. So I went to buy some, and there was on the shelf in a box Skittles drink mix. So it's the flavors. I'll take my headset off and go get the box and show you. So I bought some, and I loved it because it's orange, it's green, it's basically all the colors and flavors. I love the red, the
That's
strawberry.
Awesome.
But,
just get red out of there, and you're good.
But
get right
I
there,
now friend. They don't sell it in Canada. I order it on Amazon and have it delivered to the house. Like
that's
it's
like paydays.
Unbelievable.
Now you can.
Yeah.
Now you know my pain.
I'm not lying. I'll put it into the camera. I have it up on my.
Do you just
Amazon.
Trash the yellow flavor? Or no?
I love it.
No. I've got honestly. I buy. I don't like the green. I don't like the green apple because it's a weird flavor.
Green apple's like, okay. It's the lime that's like.
Yeah.
Just
see garbage. For me. I like the purple, I like the orange, and I like the red.
Yeah, Noodles has it right.
All right. That's my thing.
You have one more for us, Jonas?
I have lots more. I'm trying to figure out the one that's going to most get you upset.
Okay.
All right. Drake is the greatest Canadian music artist of all time.
No.
Huh?
Here's the thing, Jonas. This is the problem with being younger and thinking that the world just began like 15 years ago.
Curious where you go with this.
Well, I mean, you could talk about just the magnitude of someone like Celine Dion, right?
Mm, okay.
One of the truly great voices of all time, one of the most successful artists of all time. Neil Young is someone that obviously comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
I love, you know, someone like Gord Downie. There's such a rich history of pure musicians who are Canadian.
Like the band,
right? Absolutely. Robbie
Brian
Robertson
Adams.
And the crew.
Brian Adams.
Now, again, like, Drake is the most successful Canadian artist of all time. I can't
Nobody
argue
has
with that.
More hits.
Nobody has more hits. No one's had more streams. No one has been more popular. Nobody.
Yep.
Than
the
him.
GOAT.
He is the GOAT. He is an absolute superstar. In terms of, like, the actual music, it's always subjective. It's tough. Like, I enjoy Drake. I like a lot of his stuff. I do. Here's the thing, Jonas. I have to counter it, and I think I could find, you know, a handful of other musicians who would argue that their musical abilities would be above and beyond Drake. But that's a tough one. It's a tough one.
It out of a computer.
Guys on the Mount Rushmore, no question.
Yeah,
but his lyrics, his singing ability, his rapping ability, like the guy, he's an absolute superstar.
I love
like,
Rush.
There's no question.
There's Rush. There's some great, like, great.
Yeah. Rush,
legendary
if you're like
bands.
A, there's a good point though. Like if you're talking pure musical ability, like musicians,
right?
Rush is, you know, at the top of
Isn't
the list for anyone.
Joni Mitchell Canadian or no?
Joni Mitchell is Canadian.
Okay.
Yep. Joni
there's
Mitchell.
There's some
great
ones,
one.
And obviously
great Canadian artists.
Drake is awesome, and he's a superstar and all that. I
what
think
about Bieber?
The
Biebs
is
yeah,
ahead
the
of
Biebs,
Drake.
No. Exactly. Shawn Mendes.
I like the Biebs, but he's not ahead of Drake.
As far as what? Like
hits. He doesn't have enough.
Oh, he's got
be.
A ton of hits.
I think
not
he, might,
compared
ha-
to
he
Drake.
Might have more than Drake. He
no.
might have more than Drake.
Close.
Somebody, you know what? If you did the, not the streams, but if you actually did like the charts, who's won more?
I'll bet you we can
Bieber,
look that up.
I think Bieber might
Drake.
Have won more.
It'd be close. All right, we'll come back with that. We'll try to get you an answer on it, okay? Here's the thing, Jonas. It always hits. Here's the thing, Jonas, is always a bit that works, and it will continue throughout the summer. All right, we got to get to our best bets brought to you by FanDuel. We'll do that next. Today's best bets brought to you by FanDuel. Bet on all your favorite teams in the FanDuel Sportsbook app. I'm on the under in the ballgame tonight. That is shocking considering Yusei Kikuchi is on the mound. But he is due for an outing, and the Rays do not hit very well, but they do pitch well. So I'm going under. All right, it's 9.5. It's going to be dicey, but I'm taking the under tonight. I like the Cubs with Hendricks on the mound tonight at home against the Reds. And Vladdy paying +210 for 2+ hits tonight. I will put a little sprinkle on Vladdy as well. I think after kind of instigating a bit of a brawl, even though it was Pivetta that hit Kirk, it wasn't a brawl. No one did anything. But overly protective of his guy, Alejandro Kirk. I love it. Fiery Vladdy Guerrero Jr. is always a positive Vladdy Guerrero Jr. So those are your best bets for today, brought to you by FanDuel. Make every moment more and get your winnings fast when you download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today. Here's the thing, Jonas. It's always great seeing you, buddy. Thanks for joining us.
Yep.
We'll see you a lot throughout the summer. Canada Day tomorrow, so we're off tomorrow. So everyone have themselves a great long weekend. We are out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games tonight. We're back Monday at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.